of emunas is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no physical form. Nothing physical about Hashem. He's beyond human comprehension, and all the times that Tanakh refers to Hashem's hands or fingers or nose, they're all anthropomorphic, in an attempt to sober ourselves in so that we can understand Hashem a little bit better. And not only does he not have any physical form, but even emotions. And we say Hashem is a rachum rachanun. Hashem's not a rachum rachanun in the way that we are, that we feel pity or compassion, because he doesn't have a heart, and he doesn't have, it doesn't change in time. When you feel pity, you weren't compassionate a minute ago when something happened and evoked your pity. So it's very startling to find in Parshas Noach that Hashem comes and says, here I am. Here I am, the rainbow. That's really strange. It's Kashti Nasati Be'anan, I'm a rainbow. So of course Hashem isn't the rainbow. Hashem is saying, Kashti, my rainbow. And especially since rainbows pre-existed the Mabul, presumably, and Hashem just imbued the rainbow with new meaning. Right? Rainbows always existed. The Mabul is a couple good hundred years into history. Right? So the rainbow obviously happened beforehand, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued it with new meaning. So I want to talk today a little bit about why the rainbow symbolizes, can you hear me? Why the rainbow symbolizes Hashem. What about the rainbow? I mean, it's very strange. You just read it really quickly. And to understand that, I'm going to try to reframe for you what's happening. We may think that what happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, don't worry, I know you're scared to go out of the Teva, you're traumatized, PTSD, you know, why should I have children, why should I rebuild the world, may I just get drunk all day, which sadly was what happens to Noach. And Hashem says, don't worry, I'm signing a bris with you, I won't destroy the world, and my rainbow is the sign of the bris. So that's a, that, if it wants to, you don't have to ask it, if you want to go, that's a one-dimensional way to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just giving Noach a reassurance. A different way to understand this whole story is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that something has to change about religion, that first formula, that first version was flawed and it led to collapse and moral deterioration and theological heresy. So Hashem, in this whole parsha of Noach, this whole section after Noach leaves the Teva, is not speaking to Noach as a person. By the way, I want to reinforce your confidence. Don't worry, I'm giving you a promise. But Hashem is recreating the natural order. He's clearly recreating the natural order and establishing differences between man and animal. Man was too connected to the animal kingdom. As part of that, man couldn't eat animals because it wasn't clear that man was empowered. So men didn't feel empowered enough, especially since they were expelled from Gan Eden, and especially since Cain was forced to be a nomad. When man doesn't feel empowered, he also doesn't feel responsible. So much of life is, when you have power, you also have responsibility. Think of you, you're this year, you're out of high school. We're trying to empower you. Hopefully it'll translate that into responsibility. I have to show up for night seder because I'm being trusted. Because Hashem expects it, not because of a check. So when you don't feel that you're humanity or man, you feel like you're just an animal, well, you're not responsible. You're not a custodian. You're not authorized to be responsible. So by placing man above animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Noach to just be more noble and be more mission-driven. But what about religion? What about religion is changing? And how does that change conveyed through the rainbow? So we're going to discuss two meanings for the rainbow. One meaning, or symbolism, the Ramban's famous pshat, and how that changes not just the rainbow, but it changes our view of Hashem and the entire religious system. And then we're going to study someone who came up with an amazingly, amazingly creative and unique way to understand the rainbow, which I don't think has ever been stated before. Me. Okay. I never found this, but it's really interesting, and you have to know the physics of a rainbow to know it, obviously, until we were able to discover the physics of a rainbow. Okay, so let's first discuss the Ramban, the traditional approach. Ramban says it's not the coloration that's the issue, it's the shape. The rainbow is convex, concave, depending on how you look at it, but the Ramban says the rainbow is an inverted bow. Because for centuries, humanity thought Hashem was angry. And humanity thought that Hashem was bellicose. And humanity thought that Hashem was warmongering against human beings. And humanity thought that he was pointing a bow and arrow at them. So if Hashem were to be warring with you, so in our day he'd be holding a gun to our head. That would be the phrase. In those days he'd be holding a bow and arrow to your head. And he'd be in Shemayim, and the bow would be perched in a threatening or menacing fashion. And the truth is, everything humanity had seen until then corroborated that impression, because what had humanity seen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Punishments, expulsions, floods, scattering. So what would you think? You think Hashem is angry, that gods are grotesque figures who are constantly angry, who are toying with humanity for sport. And Hashem wants to inform human beings, that's not who I am. I'm the Av HaRachaman, I'm your father. I want prosperity, I want you to prosper, you should have been in Gan Eden, you blew it, but even though you blew it, my mercy is still there. And Hashem, as it were, is rebooting this awareness by presenting an inverted bow to Noah. I'm not holding a bow to your head. I'm holding an iron dome. I'm protecting you. I'm holding an umbrella. I'm protecting you. And I'll continue to protect you. And that's why the bow, that's why the rainbow is accompanied by Hashem's promise that this winter and the summer and the day and the night and the seasons will continue, because I want you to live. And to live, you need day and night. You need seasons. You need agriculture. You need differences. You need time, biorhythm. Now, Hashem pleaded with Noah to understand this. It's hard to know whether Noah and his generation really absorbed it. We've got 10 new generations passed until Avram. But this is ultimately the message of Avram. We'll talk about this a lot next week. People think that Avram saw Hashem through science, that he saw science and physics and nature and astronomy. What Avram really saw in Hashem was moral energy. This world could be 1 kilometer closer to the sun and it would be incinerated. It'd still be scientifically synchronized. You'd still have physics at work and chemistry at work and astronomy at work. It just would be oriented in a way that would not support human life. Or a planet could be 1 kilometer further and then we'd freeze to death. And the ecosystem is very delicate, and even in your stomach right now, you just had some breakfast, there's a team of enzymes that are operating to digest the food, and the temperature has to be just right in your body, and that homeostasis and the ecological balance is very, very tenuous and very, very fragile. So Avram wasn't Socrates. Avram was a moralist. Avram sensed in Hashem. People don't understand this. Like, they think that Avram was two people. Who was he? Was he Socrates or was he Mother Teresa? Was he a philosopher or was he a do-gooder? He was both. His philosophy was based on sensing the moral energy of Hashem and wanting to be an agent of that moral energy. He wanted to be like Hashem. So his chesed was an outgrowth of his philosophy. He saw Hashem through moral energy. He didn't see Hashem through science. So it takes humanity. We're discussing, Yonah, how the rainbow is not just Hashem offering an isolated promise to Noah that it will no longer destroy you, but Hashem rebooting man's perspective on religion, creating new religious models, because the first model didn't work so well. And the first model is that, the Ramban's model, that the rainbow is an inverted bow and arrow. So people thought Hashem was angry all the time, warring with them, no, I'm protecting you. And it took a while for that to sink into humanity's mind. And I talked about this last night. That's one of the great crimes of Islamic fundamentalism. One of the great crimes beyond the obvious crimes is that they're hijacking the face of Hashem. And they're presenting a God of anger and a God that's bellicose and a God that's hostile and vengeful and full of ire and celebrates the death of innocents. And they're basically hijacking Hashem. If you interviewed 10 neutral people in today's world, you know, it's a season of polling and who are you going to vote for? So if you interview 10 neutral people who are not deeply religious and who also are not atheists, they don't have an axe to grind, and you ask them, what do you associate with God and religion? They say death and suffering and discrimination, and because they've done a good job of convincing people that religion is fanatical, fundamentalist, murder, and jihadist. And so it takes a while, but Avram realizes this, and it caps off in the end of his life with his final demonstration / exhibition / challenge not to kill. The Akedah, we'll talk about this in 2 weeks, is basically Hashem dragging Avram to the brink of human sacrifice so that he can say, no, this is not what I want. I can't debunk something until I plant it in your head. I have to first make you realize that something's feasible and say, but this is not what I want. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu drags Avram to Har Moriah, fakes him into believing that's what he wants, and then he says, Al tishlach yadcha el hanar v'altas lo me'uma. I don't want anything. I don't want tzirashis. I don't want even blood. Don't even take a wound. Talk about this in Beit Hashem when we get to the Akedah. So this is the Ramban's version of the rainbow. As I said before, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an isolated parenthetical statement, by the way, don't worry, Noah, don't get anxious, don't panic, don't get drunk, because I'm here for you. And my rainbow demonstrates the stability. Gabriel, I think you're blocking. Demonstrates the stability of the world. but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to rebuild the religious interface between human beings and Hashem and how human beings perceive Hashem. And of course, this message, as well as the second message I'm going to give you, are very relevant for Corona, where my great fear is that a lot of people will start to view Hashem as random, careless, apathetic to human death. When there's so much death, it's hard to retain. Believers continue to believe. Non-believers probably continue to non-believe, but a lot of people, I remember one of Rav Amital's most revealing statements to us about the Holocaust, we said, Rebbe, who lost their faith and who maintained their faith? And we were waiting for him to tell us the secret sauce, like those who were X and went to this yeshiva kept their faith. And he said basically those who had strong faith entering the Holocaust emerged with strong faith. Those who didn't, whose faith was faulty, they lost it. Again, this is in scientific studies. I don't like take this and extrapolate. It could be very hurtful to people who lost their faith. And maybe they did have strong. But that was his impression. I asked another survivor that question. And, I mean, his language was basically Holocaust was survivalist. Basically, you were just trying to put one foot in front of the other all day long, and you didn't think about the larger questions. And then when the Holocaust was over, you returned to your former life. But it was the same assessment. Now let me tell you a different way to understand the rainbow, and you missed my joke before. This is a new idea that I've never ever seen presented, and I thought of it, and I think it's really valid. But to understand the rainbow, you have to understand the physics of light and of color. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not an expert in physics, but help me with the terms. Okay. When all the colors are combined, you see no colors, right? So right when you're looking, let's say at the clear light in front of you, you're seeing the entire spectrum and you're not seeing any color. When you see color, let's say Moshe's wearing a red shirt, and I forget, the shirt is absorbing the red parts or repelling the red parts, repelling. So the shirt is absorbing all the other colors of the spectrum, but repelling the red parts of the spectrum. So I can only see color in part. I can't see all the colors together. I can only see partial colors. It's impossible for the human eye to see the entire spectrum. So I think that there's something called red light and blue light and green light and red color, but it's not really true. It's only a part of something larger. And the only time I can see the entire spectrum is the rainbow. So the rainbow, essentially, its function in physics is to demonstrate something that's always there, that's ubiquitous, but it's so ubiquitous and always there, try to process this, that you don't see it. And you can't see its entirety, you can only see part of it normally, but once in a while you get to see all of it. What am I describing? Something that's ubiquitous all over, it's so ubiquitous and all over you can't see it, and you can only see part of it. You can see it. Isn't that great? That's why the rainbow is the only image that can possibly define Hashem, because it's basically the inverse of nothing. The rainbow is reminding us that I can't see anything, it's an exception to the rule, but the rule. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell Noach, okay, now getting back to it. First of all, it's really cool, because I think it makes a lot of sense. It makes a tremendous amount of sense. And there's no way that, I think, most of the Shana would say this, because they just didn't understand the physics of light in the rainbow. So, and they thought it was moisture-based, and which it is, because it acts to break the spectrum. But I don't think most of them understood prisms. I think Leonardo da Vinci was one of the first people to play around with prisms, even Wiki it, but it certainly was not popular in the days of the Ramban, people like that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the second message of the rainbow, trying to tell Noah, don't think that I'm up there in heaven, because that's how people thought of Hashem. They looked to heaven, and the flood came from the heaven, and the Bnei Elohim fell from heaven, and let's support the heavens. So heaven suggests hierarchy, but also suggests distance. Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, Ve'adam, and that distance can lead to a lot of infantile religious behavior. Let me hide from Hashem, Adam says. Let me hide from Hashem, Cain says. Or Gadol Avanim, and so Cain says. You carry, you hold the heavens together, as Rashi says. Why can't you carry my sin? And so much of religion is feeling that we walk with Hashem wherever we are, and he's part of our lives, and we're tiyol, we make a bracha, and we play sports, and we... Kodesh Baruch Hu is ubiquitous and imminent, just as he's transcendent. And part of the failure of the previous generation is that Hashem was too distant. Not that Hashem was seen as grotesque and angry, but Hashem was just too distant and faded out of consciousness. And part of what Avram is trying to do is make Hashem more imminent. That's why we're Maki Sadek. See, Avram says, Konei Shemayim Ba'aretz. You introduced Hashem Konei Shemayim Ba'aretz. And the Gemara Baruchah says that Avram was the first person to be Mamlech Hashem on the Shemayim and the Aretz. They all knew that Hashem was in the Shemayim, but they didn't feel his presence enough on the earth. So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, what happens in the land stays in the land. You know, one of the interesting parts, you know, because the owner's here, is that when you live in far off distant areas, it's easier to feel like you don't have to, that what happens is stays in syndrome. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Hong Kong for Shavuos. The Rav there was a Kish Olam, so I went there for Shavuos. And remember, in Hong Kong, it's not like, you know, you're the only firm Jews. The only Caucasians, you know, places, Oriental, and you're a smattering of Caucasians. It's not like you feel that you're alone. You really are alone. And I was really surprised. I sat down to one of the meals with two nice young men, and they were sitting with women whose Judaism was, to me, uncertain. It was unclear whether they were Jewish, but it was clear they were seriously dating or more. And I asked them, like, have you ever been to Israel? Thinking these were people who had marginal exposure to Judaism. And I said, oh, did you visit Masada? Did you go to the Wailing Wall? Like, I was going to try to, like, build their Israel interest from the ground level, just to, like, come visit me one day, and hopefully I'll redeem them. And to my utter shock, he said, yeah, I learned in. I'm not going to finish the line. I spent a year learning in, and I spent, oh, it wasn't this yeshiva. But it was yeshivas that you'd have least expect in this yeshiva. And I don't just mean, you know, the yeshivas that your friends were. I mean, like, I was just, I did a double take. And as I went through the weekend, it was clear to me that there is that feeling that you just run away and you hide. And you don't have to answer to anyone. Part of living in a Jewish community is answering to people, not in a way that becomes totalitarian or tyrannical or strips you of your individualism, but in a way that's just healthy, healthy communal pressure to conform, healthy communal pressure to maintain moral standards, to maintain norms. So man didn't have that because Hashem was sequestered in Shemayim, and Hashem is trying to tell Adam, by the way, I'm here, and part of my being here is I'll maintain the seasons, and I'm not going to destroy the world, so I'm in the same boat as you are. Of course not, but, and you give human beings a sense that you're walking with Hashem. So that's how I want you to read the end of Noach. It's not that Noach's afraid and Hashem guarantees him and pulls an artificial sign out of his hat as a symbol of his guarantee. It's that man has failed religiously and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to restructure how we view Hashem in two very important elements. One is Hashem angry or is he compassionate? Two is Hashem distant or is he like the rainbow? He's right here. He's literally right in this moment. I don't see him because he's everything, so I'm not going to see the everything. And that's why, of course, no one person has a monopoly to understanding Hashem. Everyone can only see part of Hashem. So whatever Hashkafa we have is only partially true. It's the part of Hashem that we're able to absorb. And you see, I'm able to discuss this with you because part of what happens when you meet really great people is you get an inkling by multiplication and extrapolation what Hashem could be like. Like, until I met Rav Lichtenstein, I met mortal people. So to imagine a Kodesh Baruch Hu was beyond anything. But when I met Rav Lichtenstein, I saw sellers. Like, if I just quadrillionized it a trillion times squared cube, like, obviously it's heresy to say that, but your frame of reference changes so dramatically. And I think you have this a lot with the Rav, less with the Lichtenstein for other reasons, but the Rav was just so kaleidoscopic and so broad that it's almost impossible for any one Talmud to get the total Rav. And that's why you hear Talmud say, this is what the Rav was and this is who he wasn't. The Rav was a Litvisha, Lithuanian Rosh Hashiva who despised intellectual study and read it just so that he could earn a living or own his spirit. Or the Rav was really a philosopher, just gave shir because he had to be. Or the Rav was a shul rabbi. Some people are so broad that their students can't get all the rays. And they really believe that's who their Rebbe was because they can't imagine anything more. And that's totally natural. And these people are just so, so broad and so sweeping and so panoramic that, and I don't think, I didn't meet all the Rebbe's Talmidim, but to me I always thought the Rebbe Lichtenstein was the closest approximation in terms of combining all the elements of the Rebbe. The learning as well as the, you know, general interest in general studies. But be that as it may, obviously with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's impossible to get the entire spectrum, just like you can't see the entire light. And that's why the rainbow isn't just Hashem, by the way, you can't see me, but I'm there. Just like you can't see all the colors when you're looking at regular open space, but they're there, and the rainbow reminds you of something that's there, which you can't see. Okay, so that's a whole different way to read the end of Noah, and there are many, many other issues that are being tangled, but these are the two issues that I think come from the rainbow. Okay? Yes, we keep our record alive, being the first to finish. So far, 4 for 4.